السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. وقال تعالى في مكان آخر: وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, the verses of the Quran Sharif which have been recited in the fourth juz of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says to him that, O Nabi of Allah, say, قُلْ, make this announcement, make this declaration. In other words, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should recite and mention these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and convey it to the companions, to the Muslimin, to the mu'mineen. We know that every single piece of advice in the Quran Sharif is as applicable and relevant as it was 1400 years ago. Now too, it is just as applicable. If somebody says that, no, we could only practice on deen during the era and during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in today's times we cannot do it, then na'udhu billahi min dalik, what he's actually saying is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran Sharif only for the Sahaba. It's not for the rest of the Muslims. Our belief as Muslims and mu'mineen is that the Quran Sharif is designed for the hidayat of mankind from now till Qiyamah. From the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam till the end of time till Qiyamah. Ya ayyuha an-nas qad ja'atkum maw'izatun min rabbikum wa shifaa'un lima fi as-sudur. Allah ta'ala says, hudaw wa rahmatun lil mu'minin. Allah ta'ala speaks about the Quran Sharif, hudan lil muttaqin, hudan lin nas. Many verses of the Quran Sharif indicate to the fact that the Quran is hidayat and guidance forever and ever, eternity till Qiyamah. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, if we cannot practice on any particular law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala found in the Quran Sharif, or any particular advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we should attribute it to our own weakness. That it's actually my weakness that I'm unable to perform five times salah. Otherwise, to perform five times salah is well within each person's capacity. But it is my weakness. I am weak. Due to my weakness, I'm not performing five times salah. Acknowledge our weakness, make tawbah and istighfar. Inshallah, a day will come and Allah Ta'ala will give the person hidayat. But when the person now tries to justify his weakness, that, no, you know, in today's times, you have to drink. Everybody's drinking around here. My neighbors are all drinking. So in today's times, we all have to drink. Now when a person tries to justify the sin that he's committing, then unfortunately, respected elders and brothers, that sin will never be forgiven from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the conditions for tawbah is an-nadm, an-nadama. That a person must have nadama, he must have regret and remorse. Look at the incidents of the Anbiya, as of Adam ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, after he made an error in judgment. It wasn't even a sin. He made an error of judgment. Our belief is that the Anbiya are sinless, they ma'soom. They do not commit sins. They make an error of judgment, they are human beings. Because of the error of judgments, Allah Ta'ala took him out of Jannat. He was brought into this world. What did he say? He didn't justify his sin. He said, but Ya Allah, this serpent came to me. And he told me that, you know, this is, and I thought that I'll get life forever and so on, and I'll live forever here. And so I thought this, and that's why, and because of this, and but, and no.
رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ.
He immediately confessed to his son that, oh Allah, I have made zulm, I have oppressed myself. I have made zulm on my nafs. I have oppressed myself by disobeying your command, by not fulfilling your command to the best, in the best possible manner. So they acknowledge their weakness immediately. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, that a person acknowledges and confesses his sin. He doesn't justify it. So yes, the person says, look, it is my weakness. I'm not performing 5 times salah. Due to my weakness, I'm unable to do it. But if I was a true Muslim, then 5 times salah would have been very easy. If my iman was strong, then 5 times salah would have been very easy. In fact, I would have actually waited and enjoyed performing my salah. If my iman was strong, then I would have gotten enjoyment in making tilawat of Quran Sharif. But because my iman is weak, then I find that it's very difficult for me to take out the Quran Sharif and read. Because my heart is steeled, because I have committed so much of sins. So when a person commits sins upon sins, each time the person commits a sin, there is a spot that comes onto the heart. And as he continuously sins, eventually the heart becomes sealed. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ. Allah Ta'ala seals that heart. The person now continuously brings evil desires and evil thoughts and evil habits into his heart. Then eventually what happens when the person, pride and arrogance envelops the heart? كَذَلِكَ يَطْبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ قَلْبِ مُتَكَبِّرٍ جَبَّارٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by due to the sin of pride and arrogance, Allah ta'ala sometimes seals that individual's heart. Now when the heart is sealed, you will find that the person now, the truth is shown to him, it is brought before his sight. Somebody tells him, this what you are doing is wrong. But because of his pride and arrogance, he is not prepared to acknowledge his weakness. Now he starts justifying it. Now he wants to get back at the person. This is pride. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this disease of pride. The opposite of pride which we must develop in our lives is humility. مَن تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. That person who humbles himself, Allah ta'ala elevates that individual status. Acknowledge ourselves. I made a mistake, I was wrong. I made this error. I am weak. I'm not claiming to be strong. If we have got this quality, Allah will love that individual. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will be no sin that Allah will not forgive. If the person acknowledges his sin, he admits his weakness, then inshallah there will be no sin that Allah will not forgive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this wonderful quality of humility and acknowledging our weakness. So yes, we were saying that the Quran Sharif is a book of hidayat for man till the day of Qiyamah. If we are unable to practice on it, it is due to our weakness. There's no weakness on the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man, and Allah knows his creation better than the creation knows itself. Allah is the one who created man, the manufacturer of a particular vehicle. They will know the specification of the vehicle better than anyone else. They've designed the vehicle. They will know exactly what's the capacity and how fast the vehicle can go and what's the weak points. They've manufactured the vehicle. Allah has created us. Allah knows exactly what is beneficial for us. Allah Ta'ala knows exactly what is harmful for us. Therefore, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encouraged us towards in the Quran Sharif, it is for our own benefit. مَنِ اهْتَدَىٰ فَلِنَفْسِهِ. This lam is for fa'idah في اللغة العربية. الذين يفهمون اللغة العربية ويتكلمون اللغة العربية. فهذا اللام للفائدة. This lam is lam a fa'idah. Those individuals who understand the Arabic language. مَنِ اهْتَدَىٰ فَلِنَفْسِهِ. يعني whoever gets hidayat and whoever comes on to hidayat, that hidayat is for his own benefit. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهِ. And whoever goes astray, that he is harming none but himself. In one hadith al-Qudsi, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hadith al-Qudsi, هُوَ الْحَدِيثُ الَّذِي يُبَيِّنُهُ النَّبِيُّ بِلَغْضِهِ وَيُنْسِبُهُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ. Hadith al-Qudsi is that hadith which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned with his tongue, but he attributes it towards the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, in this hadith Qudsi, that لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أتقى قلب رجل واحد منكم ما زاد ذلك في ملك شيئا. Allah Ta'ala says, O insan, know very well that if the first of you, the last of you, whether it's jinn and mankind, all from now till Qiyamah, from the time of Adam alayhi salam till Qiyamah, every single individual who ever lived, all of you become the most pious individual on the surface of the earth. Allah says, that will not increase my kingdom one bit. And then, وَعَلَمُوا لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنْسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ كَانُوا عَلَىٰ أَفْجَرِ قَلْبِ رَجُلِ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْكُمْ مَا نَقَصَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ مُلْكِ شَيْئًا. Similarly, if every single individual from the time of Adam alayhi salam till the end of till Qiyamah, whether it's man and jinn, all of you become absolutely sinful, oppressors, zalims, criminals, Allah says that will not harm or decrease my kingdom one bit. It makes no difference to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's kingdom is beyond our understanding, beyond our understanding. Just to make us understand the treasures of Allah Ta'ala, sometimes the person is going through some financial difficulty. You tell him, buy, lift up your hands and ask Allah Ta'ala. He says, no. I'm not going to be able to come out of this problem. Respected brother, we haven't understood the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pick up your hands, that Allah who has sustained the universe, that Allah who feeds the cats and dogs, that Allah who, in the morning when the birds leave their nests, every single night when they reach home with a full stomach. If Allah can feed the birds, you think Allah doesn't have the capacity to feed us? وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we have to adopt the means. Now the person came for the bayan, he said, Morana said, must trust in Allah ta'ala. So I'm sitting in the masjid with the tasbih and I'm not going to work. The Allah ta'ala will send the food, the dastarkhan will come from the sky, the angels will come and feed me. So that's not the system of Allah ta'ala. The system of Allah ta'ala is this, that this world is a world of means. The person will make his effort. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by virtue of the effort, Allah ta'ala will look at the effort and Allah ta'ala will send. But don't ever think it's the effort that's giving you. Sometimes the person opens his shop from the morning till the evening, not one customer walks in. And sometimes the person opens his shop for a very short period of time, and the customers are just rolling in. So Allah ta'ala is the one who sends. Sometimes you'll find two shops right next to each other. Two of them right next to each other, they're selling exactly the same product. But yet you'll find at the end of the month, both of them sometimes have different profit margins. One individual sometimes has much more than the others, than the next person. So Allah Ta'ala is the one who sends the customers, who puts it in the heart of the individual to go to that person. Sometimes the person thinks in his mind, you see, let me open, have a 24-hour shop, or if I open till 10 o'clock at night, so then I get more money. Again, here the person's tawakkul is now changing. So yes, it'll happen that just at 5 to 10, one, two customers will walk in. They say, you see, lucky I opened till 10 o'clock. More customers came in. But what he doesn't realize, what is muqaddar for an individual, what a person is going to get, Allah Ta'ala will give it to him. But now when you said, let me open the shop till 10 o'clock and you announced it, now that same customer, he said, well, you know, I got till 10 o'clock to go. So just before 10, I'll make it there. Whereas if you kept the shop open till, let's say, 4 o'clock, that customer would have said, the shop is opening 4 o'clock, I need to make sure I'm there before 4. So what happened? It's not that you had more customers. It's just that that customer now came at a later stage. Had you kept the time shorter, had you closed for namaz time, Allah Ta'ala would have sent that same rizq within that time. We have not understood and realized who is the true provider, who is the true sustainer. Allah is the one who sustains. We need to make the effort. But after making the effort, remember Allah Ta'ala is the one. It is not the effort, it is Allah Ta'ala. But this world is a world of means. And therefore we are told in Sharia that we have to adopt the means, but don't ever trust in the means. The person will lock his car, but he never trusts that, you know, this lock is going to protect the car. The person will put the burglar guards on the window and put the alarm system. But with that alarm system, if Allah Ta'ala wants that criminal to come in, you can have the most elaborate security, the criminal will still come in. He'll still come in. So Allah Ta'ala is the one who protects This is a world of means. We adopt the means, but we never place our trust in the means. Our trust must always be solely and only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many times you find the person, it's all sorted out. I got this security, that security, this security. Everything fails. Everything fails. The person has got this system, that system. Whilst coming into the driveway sometimes, the criminals quietly get in. All the systems fail. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the protector, He is the sustainer, He is the nourisher, He is the one who provides. So we were speaking about the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how vast the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. In the same hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, remember, O insan, if the first of you, last of you, قَامُوا فِي سَعِيدٍ وَاحِدٍ فَسَأَلُونِي فَأَعْطَيْتُ كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مَسْأَلَتَهُ مَا نَقَسَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ مُلْكِ إِلَّا كَمَا يَنْقُصُ الْمِخْيَةُ إِذَا أُدْخِلَ الْبَحْرِ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. All of you stand on one piece of land. Can we imagine now, in this world, and currently, there are millions of individuals. Each country, continent. And now we take from the time of Adam alayhi salam till the end of time. Can we imagine how, what the population will be? Man and jinn put together. Allah Ta'ala creates such a large piece of land. And everyone is on that piece of land. And Allah Ta'ala says every single person picks up his hand. And every single individual asks his heart's desire. Ya Allah, grant me this and grant me that and grant me this. And Allah Ta'ala says, I grant each individual his heart's desire. Allah says, that will only decrease my kingdom. Like how an individual will go into the ocean. He will take a needle and place it into the water of the ocean. When he will pick out the needle, yes, there is some water that has come onto the needle. He has decreased the ocean by virtue of that little needle of water. So Allah Ta'ala has to give everyone his heart's desire. That will only decrease Allah's kingdoms to that percentage. Can we then imagine how vast the treasures and the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is? And of course, it is only when a person leaves this world, when he goes into the akhirat, when he will see Jannat, when he will see the bounties of Jannat. Allahu Akbar, respected elders and brothers. It is mentioned that the mu'min, every single person seated here, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with the wealth of Iman. Allah Ta'ala has given us this ticket to Jannah. Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhal al Jannah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever says la ilaha illallah with his heart, imanam biqalbihi, having firm belief in his heart, dakhal al Jannah, he has got his ticket to Jannah. He will enter Jannah. Now, some people will go directly into Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala make us amongst them. They go directly into Jannah. And some mu'mineen, because of the excessive sins in this world, they will have to be cleansed before they go into Jannah. May Allah protect us. So for example, a person committed zina, the person indulged in intoxicants, he didn't make tawbah and istighfar. Yes, if the person committed whatever sin he committed, but before leaving this world, he made tawbah to Allah. He says, Ya Allah, forgive my sins. I have wronged myself. I am not justifying any sin that I have committed. You are most merciful of those who show mercy. Ya Allah, you forgive my sins. It is not difficult for you to forgive my sins. And he makes this dua. Then that person, his sins have been attaibu min adhambi kaman la dhanba lahu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who has repented from a sin, it is as if he has not committed the sin. So the person made tawbah, he is excluded. But we are speaking about that individual who persistently commits his sins until eventually he leaves this world in this condition that he has got Iman but he has passed away committing sins. May Allah protect us. Respected elders and brothers, it is something we need to consider. It is really shameful for an individual to use the bounties of Allah Ta'ala to disobey Allah. That Allah who gave us eyes, that Allah who gave us a tongue, can we imagine we use that eyes to violate and break the command of Allah? It's like the example of a husband who gives the wife a mink shawl. He says, listen, this is a gift for you. Beautiful shawl. Expensive shawl. Piece of cloth that the woman will hang around her to beautify her. She now takes that shawl and she starts wiping and polishing her shoes. What will the husband say? How will the husband feel? I have given you this gift. You are taking this gift and you are using it to wipe your shoes. The husband will be upset. He probably will never give the wife a gift again. Respected elders and brothers, Allah has given us eyes. So priceless. Allah says, use these eyes to look at your parents. Use this eyes to look at your wife. Use this eyes to look at the scenery. Use this eyes to look at the beautiful stars and admire the qudrat and power of Allah. But we take this eyes and we look at haram. We take this very eyes and we break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This tongue which Allah ta'ala has given us, which is so valuable and priceless. Sometimes a person thinks he's poor, but we don't realize that we have millions within our own bodies. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. One heart transplant, look at the cost. The person sometimes has got all the wealth. There's one individual, very, very wealthy. He has gone for approximately 27 operations in one particular area of the neck. They still can't find the solution. That person says, I'm prepared to give all my wealth to him, just for health. Just for health. Sometimes we don't realize, we look at a person, we think, oh well, he must be, you know, like look at the car that he's driving, life must be very good for him. But we don't realize sometimes the condition that we are in is far better. If a person wakes up in the morning with good health, his organs are functioning, his heart, liver, lungs are functioning, this is a great, great bounty of Allah Ta'ala which we cannot even attach any price to. Person, one kidney transplant, look at the cost incurred. The person goes through one small little, one student of ours, little accident he had, one optical nerve behind the eye was damaged in the process, now he cannot see any longer. Now that person goes, which specialist he went to, they can't find the solution. All the money spent but no solution. Allah Ta'ala has given us these eyes free of charge. Allah has given us this tongue free of charge. Imagine if the person was dumb and he couldn't speak. How difficult life would have been. Imagine if the person was deaf and he couldn't hear. How difficult life would have been. Allah Ta'ala gave us this faculty of hearing. Allah gave us the faculty of speech. Yet, we use this speech to break the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Yet, we use these eyes to listen to haram, to disobey the commands of Allah. It is shameful. It is shameful. May Allah protect us and give us the realization that we should not use the bounties of Allah to violate His command. There is no individual respected Allah's and others who has been more kind to us than our Allah. Allah has given us everything that we have. Rabb, we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Rabb is that being, referring to Allah Ta'ala, who brought an individual from non-existence into existence. And then tadrijan and gradually, you know, gradually brought that person up, allowed that person to progress until that person reached a level of perfection. Think about ourselves. We were nothing. Allah Ta'ala brought us into this world. We were weak. We were helpless. Allah made it such that there were parents there to see us. Then Allah made it such that our body grew stronger. And now we are fit and healthy. And now we have come to the stage where we are. You know, there's a level of perfection in our lives. Yet we forget Allah Ta'ala. And now we attribute everything to ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So we were saying that last Muslim who went through a life of sin, and now he will enter Jannah after going to Jahannam and cleansing himself. Every sin when a person commits, he needs to be cleansed in the fire of Jahannam. If he has not cleansed himself in this world through Tawbah, so then he will have to go to Jahannam. He will have to burn that sin out. Thereafter he will be taken out from Jahannam. So one person made the comment, yeah, it's okay, I'll go into Jahannam for a while and I'll burn my sins out and then I'll go into Jannah. Allah, but respected elders and brothers, in this world, take a little fire and see how long you can put your finger inside. And that the fire of Jahannam is 70 times more intense than the most intense fire in this world. You get fire in this world, volcanic lava, a certain fire which is so intense that something just passes by and it melts immediately. Can we imagine the fire of Jahannam? It is mentioned, we don't want to scare people, but it is mentioned that if the people of this world have to just hear the one scream of a Jahannami, then every single living organism in this world will die. Just hearing the scream of the Jahannami. We don't want to scare people, but sometimes people make these silly statements. We should make dua, Ya Allah, do not even allow me to go near the fire of Jahannam. It is mentioned on the day of Qiyamah that a portion of Jahannam will be brought before the people on Qiyamah to show them what Jahannam is. That you were this Jahannam, you didn't believe in it. Here is a portion of it. It is mentioned that 70,000 angels will be holding this portion of Jahannam, like how a person holds a dog on a leash. It is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that even one angel has to release this leash, Jahannam will devour the entire occupants on Qiyamah. So may Allah protect us. Nevertheless, now let's go on the more positive way. That last person, once he comes out from Jahannam, and now he will go be allowed to now enter Jannah. It is mentioned that as he will come close to Jannat and the gates of Jannat, he will stand and he will look at the beautiful door of Jannat. The door of Jannat will be so beautiful that he'll be captivated by the beauty of the door of Jannat for a period of 40 years. You know, in this world, if a person sees a beautiful car, the more beautiful the vehicle is, the longer he takes to admire the vehicle. Anything which is beautiful, depending on how the degree of beauty, the more intense the beauty, the more the admiration. In other words, what Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is trying to show us, how intensely beautiful and captivating Jannat is, that just the door of Jannat will take a person 40 years to continue to admire. Imagine if that is the door of Jannat, can we imagine what Jannat is? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all day, respected elders and brothers. That is the place to work towards. That is the investment. This world is nothing in comparison to Jannat. Absolutely nothing. When a person goes into Jannat, you say, what, we were wasting our time with that? Fighting over sand. That's what, everything in this dunya is sand. The gold and silver is sand. The diamond is sand. The vehicles in this world are all made from sand. If you look at it, iron. Everything comes from the sand. The man too is from sand. You are fighting over sand. When the person will see Jannat and the bounties of Jannat, the houses will be made of golden bricks. The smallest Jannati, the size of his Jannat will be 10 times the size of this world. 10 times the size of this world. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, the time has already expired. We should make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all the ability to develop this quality of haya. فَإِنَّ حَقِيقَةَ الْحَيَاءَ أَنَّ مَوْلَاكَ لَا يَرَاكَ حَيْثُنْهَا. This modesty and shame, that my Allah must not see me engaged in such an activity with which He is displeased. You see, don't you have shame? We make the statement. True shame is this, that my Allah must never catch me and see me involved in such an action which will displease Him. Now the person wants to commit a haram, he says, but my Allah is watching. I should have shame. That Allah, jisne sar baksha, usse sarkashi zeba nahi. That Allah which gave you the head, how can you use that head to disobey Him? That Allah who gave me my eyes, how can I use my eyes to disobey Him? That Allah who gave me the tongue, how can I use this tongue to break His command? I feel ashamed to do such a thing. This is true haya and modesty. May Allah Ta'ala bless it to each and everyone who is seated here. Respected elders and brothers, we stand to gain. When we will develop this haya in our lives, then Allah will open up the doors of tranquility and serenity and happiness. Today, we're searching for happiness. I got no happiness in my life. I'm restless. I got this problem and I got that problem and this problem. That one is angry with me and this one is fighting with me. Please, Allah, and Allah will bring happiness into your life. That Allah, who is the creator of happiness, please Him and He will bring happiness in your life. He will bring tranquility in your lives. Allahumma waffiqna wa iyyakum. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.